So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles back to the book of Psalms, but this time to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. We're turning to the heart of the Bible, because if you're interested in Bible trivia, Psalm 117 is the centre chapter of the Bible. It's the central chapter. I think I'm right in saying there are 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it. So it's the central chapter of the Bible. It's only really trivia, nothing too significant about it. The divisions of chapters are man-made. But Psalm 117 is at the heart of our Bibles, and it tells us about the heart of praise. If you want to sum up what praise is all about in a nutshell, then Psalm 117 is a good place to turn. Let's just read that psalm. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you're ready for a Hebrew lesson this evening. We're going to learn three Hebrew words, but I'm confident you know two of them already, so it shouldn't be too difficult. Two Hebrew words that I'm confident you know already, and one that you may not have come across, but that is a word worth knowing. So we've got here a hallelujah sandwich. Praise the Lord, in the Hebrew, is hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's our first Hebrew word. A hallel psalm, a psalm of praise. And we're going to ask three questions of our psalm this evening. Some of you may have come across the Rudyard Kipling poem where he says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Six questions that teach us an awful lot. Well, we're going to ask three of those questions this evening. What, why, and who? The what, why, and who of praise. So we'll kick off with the what of praise. What does hallelujah, what is praise or lauding, as the second section of verse 1 says, what does that involve? Well, it's praise. Well, the literal meaning of the Hebrew word is to cause to shine or to make bright. And the idea really is to put the spotlight on God. To put the spotlight on God so that people can see something of his glory and greatness. So when we praise the Lord, we want others to join in seeing how great our God is. When I think of this word, I think of somebody who used to live opposite us, and he bought a new car, and this car was obviously his pride and joy, and you'd see him on his drive polishing the car. Now, even before he was polishing it, it looked pristine, but he wanted everybody in the road to see his car in the best possible light. He wanted us to share in his admiration for this gleaming automobile. And praise is really a little bit like that, except that we have a God who is glorious to share with those around us. And so we want to set him before them in all of his attributes. He has so many wonderful attributes that we want people to see, and so we want to help them to see the God that is ours. That's what it means to praise the Lord. And then the second word there, Lord, or extol. Literally, what we sang in our opening hymn, tell out. So here the psalmist is saying not just that we put a spotlight on God's attributes, but we also turn up the volume and tell people about him as well. It really does mean to sing aloud, to address in a loud tone. John Milton, one of our great poets, wrote a paraphrase of Psalm 136 that we read earlier. And there you have the phrase, for his mercy endures forever. And Milton came up with the verse, let us blaze his name abroad, for of gods he is the God. Let us blaze his name abroad. We want other people to hear about him. Hear about all that he's done for us, all that he is to us. So when we're praising God, the spotlight is on him, not on us. I'm guessing there are a few buildings in Cardiff that have spotlights on at night, and nobody spends any time admiring the spotlights. It's the building that you're supposed to look at. That's the whole point. And praise is supposed to be focused upon God. Not what I get out of the worship, but who we are worshipping. That's what praise is all about. So we put the spotlight on him, we remind ourselves and encourage others to think about his grace and mercy, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his faithfulness. And we sing about it, and we sing loudly, because he is a God worth singing about. He's the Lord, the God who makes and keeps promises. So that's what we're doing when we're praising. We're putting the spotlight on him, and then we're amplifying his greatness so that everyone can hear. That's the what. So what about the why? What about the why? Why should we praise him? Well, the psalmist gives us two excellent reasons for praising this Lord. They're the two key things that again and again throughout Scripture God's people have focused on when they praise him. Praise him, first of all, for his merciful kindness. His steadfast love is what one translation uses to translate this Hebrew word. This is the new Hebrew word. We've had Hallel, hallelujah, that you all know. But here we have the word chesed, chesed. And translators of the Bible have struggled to come up with a word that will do. So in Psalm 136, you've got that word there again and again, 26 times in 26 verses. And there it's translated mercy, chesed. Sometimes it's translated love. Sometimes it's translated loving kindness. We have steadfast love in some versions. One of the modern paraphrases uses as the refrain in Psalm 136, his love never quits. And it's a word, chesed, which means God's committed, covenant, loyal love. Steadfast love isn't bad. Mercy, loving kindness. You have unfailing love, constant love, lasting love, all sorts of ways that people have tried to translate this word, but it speaks of God's commitment, his covenant commitment to love his people, to love them despite everything, and to go on loving them. It's a wonderful word, and it keeps cropping up. And when you think of this loyal love of God, I think of a scene in one of the Lord of the Rings films. Some of you may know it, where Frodo is heading with the ring to the place that it needs to be disposed of, and he's facing all sorts of dangers, and he camps in a wood overnight with his friends. But he knows how dangerous the journey ahead's going to be, so he tries to slip out of the camp first thing in the morning to go on alone. And so he slips out of the camp, makes his way to the river close by, and steps into a boat and quietly pushes it away from the shore. And at this point his friend Samwise Gamgee comes crashing through the branches at the edge of the wood out to the river. And he calls to Frodo. He says, "Frodo, Mr. Frodo." And Frodo yells back, "Go back, Sam. I'm going to Mordor alone." But Sam isn't deterred, and he continues to head towards Frodo and starts to wade into the river. And he says, "Of course you are, and I'm coming with you." But as he gets towards the boat, he begins to flap about with his arms. And Frodo shouts to him, "You can't swim, Sam, you can't swim." Well, Sam struggles, and Frodo manages to get to him and haul him onto the boat. And then Frodo looks at Sam and, as if to sort of say, "Well, why are you doing that? Why would you risk your life attempting to swim out to me when you can't swim?" And Sam looks up to him and he says, "I made a promise, Mr. Frodo, a promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee, and I don't mean to. I don't mean to." He says, "Committed. I've committed myself. My loyalty is important. I've made a promise." And this chesed love of the Lord is a kind of anchor for the people of God. Because God's people are up and down, aren't they? Their life is a roller coaster. But God is committed to his people. He is a loyal covenant God. And you can read in the Old Testament of how God's chesed forgives, how it saves, how it sustains, how it endures, how it encourages, how it is abundant. It's celebrated again and again in Scripture. God's steadfast love. And that word chesed is usually translated in the Greek in a word that we often translate as mercy. So when you read in the New Testament that God is rich in mercy, the writer's probably thinking of chesed. And when Peter talks about abundant mercy, he's probably thinking about chesed. And when James talks about mercy triumphing over judgment, he's probably thinking about chesed. So why do we praise God? We praise him for his steadfast, committed, loyal love. And it's a love that is a prevailing love. The Hebrew here, again, is interesting. It's "for his chesed love prevails over us." That's what it literally means. That God's loyal covenant, steadfast love prevails over us. It's the same Hebrew word that you find used back in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 7, we read of how the waters, this is chapter 7 verse 19, "the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered." The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. So it says the mountains are this high, but the waters prevail over the mountains. And the psalmist is saying, well, our sins are this high, but God's chesed love prevails over our sins. It's the same word that's used in the book of Exodus. Some of you will know the story where Israel are fighting with Amalek. And we read of how in chapter 17 and verse 11, "So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." It's the idea of winning the battle. That God's steadfast love wins the battle over our sins, gets the better of our sins, trumps our sins, has the last word on our sins. So the psalmist can say in Psalm 40, "My iniquities have overtaken me." And it's the same word. "My iniquities prevail against me." Ah, yes, but God's steadfast covenant love can prevail over our sins. And I suspect that it's this idea that Paul had in mind when he talked about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It prevailed. God's grace prevailed over our sins. So this love that we sing about is prevailing love. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth," Psalm 103, "so prevailing is his chesed love, his steadfast love toward those who fear him." So here is an excellent reason to praise God. Put the spotlight on his chesed love. We have one of our modern hymns that does it, don't we? "How deep the Father's love for us." It's putting a spotlight on this steadfast love and celebrating its depth and its breadth and its length and its height. So why do we praise God? We praise him for his prevailing love. But there's a second reason, a second excellent reason for praising our God. And that is that the truth of the Lord endures forever. And this word truth could just as easily be translated faithfulness. That's the idea that's getting across, that his truth, his faithfulness is utterly reliable. And the root of that word is our third Hebrew word this evening. And the root of it you know, because it comes from the word amen. Amen. And that word amen is supposed to be all about stability, about certainty, about confidence. When I try and explain amen, I like to use the picture of the Houses of Parliament. When you hear the MPs saying, "Hear, hear, hear, hear." That's what amen means. Absolutely, absolutely, I agree. I agree. And God's faithfulness is an amen faithfulness. It's absolute. Or you can think of the phrase that some of our Irish friends use, "to be sure, to be sure." It's the word that Jesus uses when he says, well, it's in the King James, it's "verily, verily." Or we sometimes say "truly, truly" in the modern versions. But it's really amen, amen. This is something you can rely on, the Lord Jesus is saying. This is something trustworthy and certain and stable and true. And that is what our God is like. When God reveals his glory to Moses, he declares his name, he declares his character to Moses. And he proclaims, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in chesed love and amen faithfulness. That's what he says. I'm a God who abounds in chesed love, loyal, constant, committed love, and amen faithfulness, reliable, constant and certain. Faithfulness to his people. Psalm 25 tells us all the paths of the Lord are chesed love and amen faithfulness. They characterize his dealings with us. Psalm 36 tells us that God's steadfast love, his chesed love, extends to the heavens, and his amen faithfulness to the clouds. Again and again in the Psalms, these two wonderful characteristics are brought together. God is faithful. Of course, the sad thing is that we aren't. The Lord complains to the people through the prophet Hosea. He says, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your chesed love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away." He says, your love isn't a love that's coupled with amen faithfulness. It vanishes like the morning cloud or like the early dew. I was really rather upset in my younger days. A couple of pop songs that were around in my youth. One of them, some of you will know, by a man called Billy Joel. And he sang a song called Uptown Girl. And it was at number one for weeks when I was at school. And everybody thought it was really sweet because his girlfriend was in the video that went with this song. And there he is singing about his love for this uptown girl, and there's his girlfriend featuring in the video. You think it's all rather wonderful. And then I learnt that he actually wrote the song for his previous girlfriend. Well, that's our love, isn't it? It's not faithful at all. Billy Joel said in an interview once, he said, "In my whole life," he says, "the happiest times in my life were when my relationships were going well. But in my whole life, I haven't met the person I can sustain a relationship with yet. So I'm discontented about that. I'm angry with myself. I have regrets." He says, "I've had problems being faithful." And then there was another hit in my youth. Annie's Song. Lovely song. John Denver wrote. Beautiful song. A song for Annie where he says, "Come, let me love you, let me give my life to you." Beautiful song. But then I learned that he wrote another song. Another song for Annie. But the other song was called Falling Out of Love. And the chorus was, this is what it's like falling out of love. This is the way you lose your very best friend. This is how it feels when it's all over. This is just the way true love ends. But interestingly, after the last verse of this sad song about the end of his relationship with Annie, he does rather wistfully sing, "I don't believe a true love ever ends." He says, there's something about love that ought to be committed, that ought to be constant, that ought to respect the covenant. Well, that's the kind of love and the kind of faithfulness that God shows to us. George Matheson was a pastor and a hymn writer. He was engaged to be married, and then it was found that he was gradually going blind. And his fiancée broke off the engagement. She said that she didn't think that she could cope with being married to a blind man. She didn't think she would ever be content. And so she broke off the relationship. Well, it was George Matheson that wrote the hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It says, "I've known love on a human level that did let me go. But I also know about God's chesed love, his committed, loyal, covenant love, his love that never quits. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." Two glorious reasons for praising the Lord. And so finally we come to the who question. Who? Well, Psalm 117 answers that for us, doesn't it? All you Gentiles, all you peoples. You see, the good news of God's chesed love wasn't just for Israel. In Abraham, all the nations of the earth were to be blessed. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we turn to Romans chapter 15 and we find Paul quoting Psalm 117. He says, "Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, Psalm 117, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you peoples.'" And he says there, now Jews and Gentiles should be worshipping this God with one voice. We've all got something to sing about. This isn't just a song from the Jewish hymn book. It's a song for everyone. And that means that it's a song for us. It's for us. We sang this morning, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing?" And we could say that here. Who like us Gentiles? We've got more reason than anyone else, haven't we? Because we've seen God's chesed love placarded on a cross. Who's seen God's chesed love more clearly than New Testament believers? God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've seen it on the cross. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of God into our hearts. We've seen it on a cross. We've felt it in our hearts. And that should leave us wanting to sing. And his Amen faithfulness. We see that in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is Amen to all of God's promises. We see his faithfulness to Simon Peter and the other disciples. When they go astray, he prays for them that their faith will not fail. And our Saviour doesn't fail. So if anybody should be singing this psalm, it should be you and me. A little while ago, there was a song topping the charts by the title Hallelujah. But if you read the words, there are some biblical illustrations in the song, but it seems to be a song in praise of lust rather than God's chesed love. And because the writer is confused about what love and lust is, he ends up saying that the hallelujah that he can sing in praise of lust is a cold and a broken hallelujah. And I'm afraid all human love in the end is broken in one way or another. Don't look to human love as your rock and your foundation. But do look at the cross. Do look at the cross. And put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize there God's chesed love, his constant committed love there on show. And as you see a Saviour dying in the place of sinners, you can say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And you can say, "Amen, let it be so." absolutely, may this Saviour be mine. And as you say that, you can join in this psalm and a whole heap of other psalms as well that tell us about the heart of praise. Well, we're going to conclude this evening with a song from the supplement that sings of this chesed, steadfast love. It's number 190.